Welcome back to Memory Static, the podcast that finds the things you saw when you were little and throws a party to watch them. I'm your host, Bailey Moore, and as your returning guest host for these Halloween specials, my sister and one true princess, Chaney Moore.
Hello!
Hello! So, you know, the Halloween is a little bit different this year, and I know a lot of people are worried that it's not going to be any fun, but I think that it's always what you make it to be. So, how have you been preparing for Halloween?
Well, you know, when we were growing up, our mother made those tombstones with the poems on them?
Yes.
I'm going to make those.
Oh, great.
So basically, our mother created these styrofoam tombstones and then wrote little poems on them. One was, "Here lies good old boy Biff. He died from just one whiff. He paid his dues when he took off his shoes, and now he's just an old stiff." So I'm doing the Lorraine one, and then I'm doing another one that I wrote that's about eating your vegetables. And then I'm going to stick those in the yard, and those are going to be our decorations. And we are also trying to put together a 24-hour Zoom group for horror movies. So that should be fun.
What's on the roll call for this October?
Well, all of the Halloween movies, obviously. Trick or Treat. Let me think, what else? Anything that has to do with Halloween that's a scary movie. I think we're throwing Hocus Pocus in there.
Great.
Which is not on the same level of horror as Halloween, but it's still a scary movie for children.
I know you're not that into found footage movies, but the Hell House LLC are all on Halloween or around Halloween. At least the first one is.
Okay. So, yeah, so we're trying to celebrate the best way we can being at home. And I already bought the dog's costumes. I didn't think I was that person, but I am that person. I have two dragon costumes for our dogs.
I've got to see pictures.
Oh, I'll send them. I will definitely send them.
Okay, great. And I'll put them up on our Instagram. So last year, my business partner and I threw this giant party with our business, the Wooden Nickel Carnival. And the theme of the party was Belly of the Beast. And we had this giant beast head that you walked through into the party. And the stage was a anatomical beating heart with the rib cage on the stage. And we cannot have that party this year. But instead, we set up the beast in our front yard.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, we're unsure yet if the neighbors are loving it or hating it. But they know that we're here, so.
Hey, and it's Halloween. It's when you can do whatever you want as far as decorations go.
Yeah, I also got all of my Halloween decorations down from the attic and did the whole house inside today. So my roommates will come home and they'll be surprised.
Wow. I'm very impressed. I've had the styrofoam tombstone cutouts for about a week and a half, and I haven't done anything with them yet. So you've done your entire house, and I haven't done anything.
Well, you got to get on it. We're almost mid-October.
I know. Motivation is hard.
It is hard. So when I posted about these upcoming Halloween specials, it was before I released the Witch's Night Out episode. Mm-hmm. I had asked people what they would like to hear about, and I got a request for a Salute Your Shorts episode called Zeke the Plumber, which is a Halloween special. Unfortunately, when I tried to find the episode to watch, it was not easily available for free online, which is what I want all these to be, because I want people to watch them if they want to,
right,
along with us.
Right.
However, I also got a request to cover another Nickelodeon show, Are You Afraid of the Dark? So because of the fact that it doesn't seem like Are You Afraid of the Dark technically has any Halloween special episodes, they're all kind of spooky. So I just decided to pick the one that scared me the most when I was little, Dead Man's Float.
It was not the one that scared me the most as a kid, but it definitely was up there.
Which one scared you the most?
There were two. One was I honestly don't think I've ever seen it all the way through because it scared me so much as a kid, but it was the one with the Joker. All I remember was, I think he came out of a comic book.
Yes.
He had like black
ink coming out of his mouth.
Ink or something coming out of his mouth. That really disturbed me. And then there was one where a little girl was trapped in a mirror and like the neighbor next door, like she disappeared. The parents thought that she was kidnapped or ran away or something. She was just gone. And a neighbor girl moved in next door and went snooping around the neighbor's house and saw the girl trapped in the mirror. But to my memory, the girl in the mirror looked like I did as a kid. And that was terrifying.
So it was easy for you to put yourself into the show.
Yeah. Do you remember that picture of me with the really short hair and that yellow dress? I was about 3 years old.
Yes.
That's what she reminds me of. Me at that age. Except I think she was like probably 10. But it still reminded me of me. So it really, really scared me.
Interesting. I mean, there were some other ones that really scared me when I was little. This one, though, scared me the most. And I think that from what I gathered online, a lot of people feel the same way, that this was the scariest mm-hmm. Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. And I do want to get into that a little bit. But real quick, so we couldn't find Zeke the plumber, but by strange synchronicity, the main character in this episode is named Zeke.
Yes.
So I hope that this is an acceptable substitute. And you can find it by a quick Google search. It's on Dailymotion. And quick reminder, this episode will be in mini episode format. So no time machine, no song. So, Chaney, will you give us your Dead Man's Float summary?
Sure. So back in the 1950s, a pool was built in a school. And this lifeguard was supposed to be watching this kid, and he didn't. He was making out with his girlfriend instead, and all of a sudden the kid gets pulled under, and he's like, "Someone's in the pool with me!" And then he dies. So then move to the 1990s, and this nerd, because they call him a nerd. He's really just a regular dude who likes science, but according to the show, he's a nerd. So he's making a volcano, and blows up the room, and everybody gets upset except this one girl who thinks that he's a puppy dog, but her friend is like, "No, I don't have time for this." But he likes her. So then they start like talking, and he shows her the pool that has been deserted for 40 years. And she's like, "I have to open this because I swim on the swim team and it's stupid to drive an hour." So they open the pool, bad things happen. And the lifeguard from the 50s is actually the janitor, and he tells them the whole story. And then they're like, "Well, we have to figure out what this thing is." And it's like poltergeist. People built the pool over a cemetery. And then they use science to save the day. The end.
That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a shorter summary this time than Witch's Night Out.
But it was still good.
Well, great.
Both are great. So, thank you. Do you remember watching this episode?
Yes and no. I remember parts of it. I don't remember the science, but that's probably because I was not interested in science when I was younger. Now I think it's really cool. But
yeah.
I actually remember parts that aren't even in there. I've created a whole other narrative to this show. Like, I remember like the water rising and seeing something coming towards you through the water, but that doesn't happen.
You're just thinking of Jaws.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I, watching this when I was a kid, I totally bought that those kids in the exposition were from the 50s, but you look at their clothes and it's not really period at all.
No, the only thing that they did to make it 50s was they had music playing in the background.
Well, and she wore a headband and his head was sort of greased over.
It was a good effort. Nice try.
Yeah, good try.
Kids in the 90s won't know the difference.
Very true. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
So just a bit of background. Are You Afraid of the Dark is a Canadian television anthology horror series.
Which I heard some of the Canadian come out in The Girl when she was talking.
Oh, that's funny.
I could hear it.
It originally aired on Nickelodeon from 1990 to 1996. There was a reboot series from 1999 to 2000, and then a second reboot that aired last year and was renewed for a second season for 2020. I have not seen it, but it's gotten good ratings. So I don't actually have a lot of trivia to share for this episode. So I thought that instead we would talk about some of the themes. And the first one, the most prominent one for me, is talking about why this episode was so scary for me and for a lot of people who've expressed their opinions online. So, as a kid whose favorite pastime was telling ghost stories, Are You Afraid of the Dark was naturally one of my favorite shows. And I remember them being, honestly, a whole lot scarier than they are, really, watching them as an adult. Not really that scary at all.
No, it's like Goosebumps.
Yeah. Goosebumps is very campy.
Yeah, but there were some moments of it that were really, like, worms in the bed and the worm one. I didn't like the worms.
You just didn't like the worms.
That scared me. Mm-mm.
Yeah, what is the name of that one?
I don't know. Dad is an alien and...
Don't Go in the Basement is the dad one, but...
I don't know. We're getting off topic.
I think that the thing that made this episode particularly scary, personally, is that I have always had and still have a healthy fear of things that could be lurking in the water. Is that something that bothers you at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we were kids and we used to go skiing... Waiting in the water before the boat took off was the most anxiety-ridden time of my life. I've been watching a lot of I Shouldn't Be Alive. Have you ever watched that show?
No, I haven't.
It's on Amazon Prime, but there's a couple of them like that. Like, people get left in the middle of the ocean, or their plane goes down in the ocean, or people are... on the river in, I can't remember the name of the river. It's in Africa. But they get stuck in the middle of the river where there's crocodiles and hippos.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, this is, my eyes are twitching and I can feel my heart palpitating. And I'm like, this is my nightmare.
Well, I told you how I was watching that shark movie. I've forgotten which one it is. But I had to turn it off. And it's the only horror movie in my adult life that I have turned off because it was making me physically ill. I thought I was going to vomit if I kept watching it.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, this type of fear is actually something that I've been kind of thinking about for the past couple years, because a fear of the ocean makes a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that can kill you in the ocean, but the reasons for the same fear extending to fresh bodies of water is not as obvious. I mean, we know about crocodiles and alligators and, you know, things like that, but they're not really going to be in the middle of a lake, right?
Maybe. It depends on what lake.
Right. You know, could have the Lake Placid monster.
True. And plus, you know, you can't see at the bottom. You don't really know what's underneath you. And I don't know. I also think that there's always a dead body in a lake. Always.
Yes.
So that just is something that is always in my mind.
Yes. Yeah. Like, fingers floating up and touching the bottoms of your feet. But so I have learned that there's actually a phobia about fear of deep bodies of water called thalassophobia.
Thalassophobia? Or
thalassophobia.
Thalassophobia. Interesting. Okay, well, we have it.
Yeah, I know. Which, it's not so much of a fear of water, because, you know, that, you know, whatever, water. It's a fear of what is lurking in the depths of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Which is certainly what Zeke suffers from.
Well, there have been plenty of movies made like that. Like, there's a lake movie where there's a squid that lives underneath it they don't know about, or a giant man-eating fish. So, I'm sure that it is a phobia. There was never any doubt for me, because it is right. So prevalent in film.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a pretty common phobia. So it's hypothesized that a contributing factor to this phenomena is that our ancestors passed down this aversion to deep bodies of water because they lived through a time when there were a lot more threats to their safety that lived in water, and they survived by avoiding water. So a couple years ago, I decided it would be a good idea to look up the scariest freshwater fish.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. So when you think of scary freshwater fish, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Scary freshwater fish. I mean, I guess piranha is probably the most common scary one, but they're not here, so...
Right. But I think that piranhas are likely the first that will come to most people's minds when they think of scary freshwater fish. And it was actually Teddy Roosevelt that had popularized the piranhas' reputation as voracious eaters when he documented a school of fish stripping a cow to the bone in a matter of minutes. But what he didn't include in his accounting is that those fish had been intentionally contained and starved before introducing the cow for the president's benefit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get that, but they still ripped that cow to shreds.
Oh, yes, they are definitely a force of nature. But just for a little bit of perspective, piranhas more often than not leave people completely alone unless they are very, very hungry. Because humans and piranhas often inhabit the same waters at the same time and nothing happens. But a quick Google search says that there are approximately 200 piranha attacks per year. And I don't know about you, but 200 piranha attacks is 200 too many piranha attacks. And that's good enough to keep me from swimming in piranha infested waters. Okay, so beyond piranhas.
Yes.
I think the second fish that might come to people's minds are bull sharks.
See, I was just thinking crocodiles or alligators, but those aren't really fish. But they still live in the water.
They do. And they are concerning.
To say the least.
Yeah. But quickly about bull sharks. Did you know that they are the only shark that can navigate between salt and fresh water?
I did, actually.
Yeah. And they are considered one of the three most dangerous sharks because of their likelihood to exist where humans also swim. The other two are great white sharks and tiger sharks. Now, it's worth it to say that across the board, all over the world, between shark species, there are only about 20 shark deaths per year.
Again, that's 20 shark deaths too many.
Yes, absolutely. But there are far more shark deaths per year by human hands. So I say, leave the sharks alone. Let them have the ocean. I don't need to be in there anyway.
No, shark poaching or shark... No, just leave them alone. Leave them alone.
Now, here's the one that sparks my imagination the most. Giant catfish.
Oh! So there's a show about catching catfish with your bare hands. And you... stick your hand into the mud.
Noodling.
Yeah. And you wait for them to bite you. And then you wrestle them. And they can break your hand. It's just, I don't. Ooh. These people are like way braver than I am. I'm not going to stick my hand in a hole in the river.
No.
No, thank you.
So get this. The largest catfish in the world is called the Wells catfish. And it lives in freshwater lakes in Europe. And they can get up to 3 meters long and weigh up to 150 pounds. Yeah. So attacks on people are very rare, but they are not unknown to happen. And the possibility that it could happen and that those are in the water at the same time that I might be in the water absolutely terrifies me. I know we don't live in Europe, but, you know, my imagination can take me far, far away.
Hey, like I said, I watched that show, and there were some big ones in, like, Mississippi, I think, or someplace in the U.S. They got pretty big. 70 pounds is still...
That's still very big.
More than I... Yeah.
So then there's the Kali River goonch, which is also a very large catfish, whose colloquial name is the devil fish. And between 1998 and 2007, a series of people in India and Nepal were pulled underwater by something described as a mud-colored water pig. And the bodies were never found.
Oh, no! No!
So there's not the definitive proof that the culprit was a goonch or devilfish, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. There's something in the water.
Which is what the boy said at the beginning of this show. There's something in the water with me!
Right.
And then he was never heard from again.
Right. That, you know, in that case, it's a ghost.
Yes.
So, and then the final fish that I wanted to bring up is called the Goliath tigerfish. Mm. And I just want to show you a picture of that. All right, I'm going to share my screen with you. Are you ready?
Yes. Oh, no! No! Get out of here, Goliath tigerfish.
Can you describe it?
Okay, so it has a jaw that's, like, if it opens its mouth, it's about a foot and a half high and maybe a foot wide. And then it has teeth that are 4 inches long that are spiked. I mean, it could rip your arm off easily, or, you know, easily put your head in its mouth and just chomp down and you'd be, well, yeah.
It's extremely carnivorous looking.
I don't want to try to be the David to this Goliath. No, thank you.
All right, I'm taking it away.
Yeah, it should go away. That's a river monster. The picture that you showed me, that was river monsters, I think, that you...
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is that one found?
Africa.
I'm sorry, Africa. Oof.
Very scary. Okay, so all I really know is that that's in the water, and that's good enough for me. You know, that's fine. You do you, tigerfish.
Well, and you know, movies like Lake Placid really put that fear in my head that someone just put an animal into a lake, not realizing that it could take over that entire lake, and then, you know.
That's a real concern, because that stuff happens.
Well, it's like the lionfish. The lionfish was not indigenous to certain parts of the world, but people just put them in the ocean, and now they're taking over the ocean because they don't have any predators.
Right.
So they're killing the ecosystem in the ocean. So, I mean, it's that same concept, except, you know, our playing on our phobia.
Right. There's a certain kind of carp that was introduced, I think, into the lakes of Arkansas, maybe for algae or something like that. But they have bred very, very quickly and outcompete other fish and have slowly or rapidly spread into other bodies of water throughout the United States. And what's strange about it is that there's a mutation in that carp, which is not, because they're brought over from Asia, and it's not a common mutation in Asia, but for some reason, the variety that we got here has this mutation that causes it to leap out of the water when it's frightened. And and because of that, it has made skiing very dangerous for people.
Oh, no! I can just imagine someone getting hit in the face by a carp.
Yeah, but then they're pushing out all of the animals that already lived here.
Right, right.
Right. If you weren't afraid of fresh water before, now you are. And you're welcome. And I quite possibly saved your life, so. So I think that the thing that makes this episode so scary is that it plays on this probably fairly common phobia of unknown things in deep water, makes that threat invisible, and then puts it into the most controlled, most unnatural body of water, a chlorine pool. Do you remember ever getting spooked while swimming in a pool?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when I would swim alone. There was always the fear that unseen monster was going to pull me under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when we used to go swim at your friend's house, Libby, and they had a very dark deep end. I don't know why, but it was very dark, and it was very easy to imagine something living down there.
I don't remember that.
I think they also had like a really excitable pool cleaner.
Yes, they did.
That would sometimes pop out of the water.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so the only other thing that I wanted to bring up before we join the party is the chemistry in this episode, because as you said, science saves the day.
Sorry. Yes, science saves the day, but at the same time, it magically appeared. I don't know that you caught that.
The gloves just do appear. They're like, because you need gloves. It's gonna burn you. And then like suddenly
the next time she
has
gets
gloves.
Out of the water, there's gloves right there. Yeah. I also want to point out the fact that you have fish hanging on the wall behind you. Other way.
Oh my gosh. I think they've been listening to everything I've been saying.
They're gonna tell you all their friends.
Okay.
Science.
Right. So, real quick, when I was little and I watched this, I had it in my head for years that the substance they use on the pool monster was Agent Orange. And when I got older and learned what Agent Orange was, I thought, how on earth did that come to be in a public high school for these children to have access to? So, but that's not what it is at all. It's methyl orange, which I have learned is a pH indicator used in something called titration for acids, which is a neutralizing procedure. When the substance reaches that neutralization, it turns red. At least that is my very limited understanding from my very limited high school level scientific background. It's interesting to note that the characters smell rotten eggs whenever the ghost is around.
Yeah.
And the only acid that smells like rotten eggs is hydrogen sulfide. And something I found stated that methyl orange is not the correct pH indicator to use. But I tried to look into that and I couldn't understand it. So if there is anyone that can explain the accuracy or inaccuracy of the science in Dead Man's Float, please write in at memorystatic@gmail.com and send an explanation in layperson's terms, please. Thank you.
That's great.
Well, that's all I really have. Is there anything else you want to add before we join the party?
Yeah, the other chemical that they use for, like, for the volcano and ending up to use to destroy mm-hmm. him. They say that when you mix water with whatever this is, that it will explode, right? Yeah. But there was no explosion at the end. There was just some smoke. Also, are they going to have to drain this pool because now it has all of these chemicals in it?
Probably.
Hopefully they think about that.
They might just have to close the pool again.
Okay, that's all I got.
All right, well, thank you, and we're gonna just join the others.
Yay, party time.
Hi, I'm Bailey.
And I'm Chaney.
And we're sisters.
And we're here to tell you about our brand new podcast called Two Sisters Present America's Sweethearts.
It is a comedy podcast that celebrates women in film by exploring their catalog of work. Each 5-part series will feature a different woman working in the film industry.
We both will draw 2 genres at random, so 4 genres altogether.
Then, each episode will alternate who picks the movie based on one of the genres that we've drawn.
We'll watch the movie and then we'll talk about it along with fun facts about our featured sweetheart.
Oh, and the 5th episode of each series is Listener's Choice.
That's you.
I think that about covers it.
That's what the script says.
Great.
So stay tuned.
We'll be coming to your favorite podcast platform soon.
Bye.
Okay, so we are now here at the Memory Static, Are You Afraid of the Dark, Dead Man's Float Zoom party. And in addition to Chaney and me, we now have Aaron Brothers from the Gay Pre episode, and Adam Sweeney from the Peanut Butter Solution, Elf Cuddy from The Lost Boys, Aaron Price from Hook, Kate Windsor from The Phantom Tollbooth, and Cullen, who writes the music for Memory Static. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Hi.
Hi.
Excitement.
So I have this little game.
Oh.
So I went through every single episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I picked some of my favorite words, because a lot of Are You Afraid of the Dark, it just seems like they just like picked an adjective and a noun and they were like, let's make a story out of this weird shit. So submitted for the approval of the Static Society, I'm going to make up our own episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, great.
So all you have to do is decide if it's going to be a curse or a tale, y'all.
The curse.
It's a curse, definitely.
Submitted to you for the approval of the Midnight Static Society, the curse of the last nurse.
The curse of the last nurse. That's awful.
That's actually
scary.
So scary.
That's very scary.
All right.
I actually saw a video today about a shortage of nurses. So like,
oh my God, it's so appropriate. It's pandemic time.
Okay.
It's like
another
everybody's,
one.
No. Time out. So here's the thing. Everyone's like being rushed in and it's wild and there's only one doctor and that doctor dies. And so this amazing nurse who's very resourceful is like, I will I will pick up the flag. And if I'm the last one, then goddammit, I'm the last one. And everyone's inspired, and she saves the day. Or does she? I don't know. Maybe everyone turns
into doesn't sound very scary, to be honest.
What? It's about COVID. Are you freaking kidding me?
COVID maybe patients turn into zombies.
I mean,
yeah.
We live in zombie land right now.
And that's not fucking terrifying to you?
COVID's it is. Yeah. I'm working on disassociating right now.
Okay, what's the next one?
All right.
Let's do the tail this time.
The tail. Submitted to you for the approval of the Memory Static Society, I give you the tail of the dangerous woman. Okay, we're doing this again. But there has to be something good in here. I mean, I picked up some of the choiciest words. I threw in the word stinky, and I'm really hoping this comes up. All right. To you for the approval of the Memory Static Society, I give you the tale of the dead ghost.
Redundant.
The dead ghost. I'm doing it one more time, y'all.
That's my favorite.
This is a really good game.
The dead ghost.
Submitted to you for the approval of the Memory Static Society. I give you the curse of the hungry locker.
That's good.
That's good.
You have to keep slipping notes.
That's actually really scary
all day long.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a goosebumps one, no doubt, Aaron. Oh, yeah. I agree.
It's the hungry locker for sure. Well, because the locker, I picked that one because it was one of my favorite episodes. The Curse of Locker 22.
I just pulled up some random word generators, and they are not curated at all. So, submitted for the approval of the Memory Static Society, the tale of the befitting extent.
You have to have an adjective and you have to have a noun. So you have to be able to make that. So
the tale of the befitting extent.
The curse of the
secret reanimator.
Oh.
Curse of the secret. That's pretty creepy.
As opposed to the public one that everybody knows and loves.
Members only reanimator.
Yeah. And he has a members only jacket.
Yeah, because most reanimators are known.
Yeah, obviously.
Hey, yeah, it's your friendly neighborhood reanimator here. Just reminding y'all.
Okay.
Stay in neuter
your pets. Cronenberg was thinking. He was like, you know what? We need a friendly public reanimator.
So everybody's watched it, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which of y'all have seen it before now?
Me. Well, yeah, me and Aaron, I guess.
Absolutely.
And Chaney.
Right. So how scary is it compared to how you remember it?
I will say that I remember seeing, because, you know, I think that Adam and you, Bailey, can agree that we were like horror connoisseurs at a very young age, right? And I remember watching that as a child or whatever and being like, this is the lamest episode I've ever seen of Are You Afraid of the Dark? I did not like it. I thought it was really not scary because, let's just be real, there's one about the cigar smoking clown that they steal his nose.
That Sebo. One even has a creepy Sebo. Name. That's called The Tale of the Laughter in the Dark. One.
Laughter in the Dark. No, fuck that. Like that.
I remember that one.
That one's fucking scary, dude.
I remember there was a show. I was like a little bit younger than I would see. I'd be at my grandma's house because she had YTV, which was what it was on in Canada. And yeah, it would come on the you know, with the boat and the swings. Mm-hmm. And I would like be like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm going to watch it this time. And I couldn't do it. And I think it was that episode, the one with the clown.
That's so funny. You know, I actually thought when I was little, this was the scariest episode for me.
I mentioned it to a friend that you were covering this and he goes, oh, that's the scariest episode.
So. It got really high ratings on like Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
This episode, my first impression of the series.
Oh, really?
Me too. I've never seen it. I loved it. I would really like, from the aficionados, a list of good episodes worth checking out of the show, because I loved it, and I want to see more. And I was very intrigued by the bizarre meta narrative. Like, I want to know more about the characters that are in the storytelling club, where they were clearly like, this guy's a jerk and we like this person and I'm the big brother of the group, and I want to know all about that.
Was it ever revealed how they got together? Like, I don't remember if there was a, like,
Yeah, they've always been friends.
And it changes, like the big brother and big sister or something graduate, and then there are more people. And I always thought the big brother looked like Milo from Atlantis.
Can I have one question. I have a question about the narrative structure. This would seem to imply that however old the boy was that was trying out for the group was giving the details about all of these complicated relationships between the teenagers in addition to the scary parts.
Yeah, he definitely was.
That's interesting because, like, a lot of the stories, they do tie in with the narrator, with the storyteller. And that's usually the only view you get of these kids, which I think is really interesting because, like, in the episode Curse of Locker 22, it's about a girl who is feeling isolated and is getting bullied. And so she tells a story about this girl who time travels through a locker to, like, save the ghost of this girl who got bullied in the 60s at school. There's this morality to it, and then they're also, like, trying to, like, express their own personalities to each other through these weird stories.
Yeah, and there's definitely, like, a certain amount of, like, they're all friends, but in some of the episodes there's definitely a certain amount of judgment that goes on among them. And then, like, the only way to let someone into the secret society is if all the members unanimously vote yes. Like, it has to be we all like you.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to say, I looked up best Are You Afraid of the Dark episodes because Aaron said he wanted a list. Mm-hmm. And the second one that came up on Google was The Tale of the Dead Man's Float.
That's what's
up. Oh, yeah, you'll see it on a lot of lists. And I think it's because it scared a lot of us when we were little.
It probably also was very cheap for them to shoot. That's a pretty easy way to do it. And also, if you just go to a school and you're like, hey, listen, can we just shoot in a pool? Like, and they're like, sure, why not? That's like one location for the entire show. That's you're saving a ton of money.
What did y'all think about the period piece exposition that we had at the beginning?
Confusing.
I was very confused.
1953 or whatever.
I was also confused.
It was the 1990s back in the 50s.
Yeah, the kid was like, this was back in the 50s. He's like, wait, I thought this was the 50s. What? Oh, flashback. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't understand until the janitor talked about it later that happened a long time ago. And also that this janitor was that kid. It was a little bit jarring.
Talk about the scariest part of this episode, which was like the weird sexual tension between all the characters. Just, it was so uncomfortable. The small drama between, loved it.
How the friend had the crush.
Yeah, great.
And the main girl, what's her name?
Clarice.
But that's play on Clarice.
Yeah, how she didn't even acknowledge that, like, oh yeah, I know you confided your crush to me, but I'm helping this kid swim now, and he's giving me chemistry lessons, and you know, there's chemistry happening. What can I say?
I thought you didn't like puppies.
She put her finger on his lips for like 30 seconds. It was crazy. She was like, not another word. You're a dweeb and don't ask me out. And then my finger's still there.
By the way, like, I was like, what the hell are these kids wearing? They all are dressed up like business professionals from like 1984.
I'm assuming it's based in Montreal or Quebec City. So it's because it's Canadian, by the way.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Do Canadians like generally dress like they're going to like get the senior discount at Denny's?
No, but I'm just like assuming it looked like it was in kind of a city. So I was like, oh, maybe their parents are like business people or like.
They're like, you're going to dress like
people
I
do. People who love the Land's End catalog.
I'm just saying that we need to be a little bit careful about this because let us remember that Bailey herself had a power suit growing up. So like, let's be a little gentle here.
That power was a big suit, that's cool.
Roll the tape.
There was a big reveal about it for her birthday episode. Okay. I never have forgotten.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Thank you. I don't remember this power suit, Bailey. Which one was
it? It's the Celadon one with the checkered lapel.
Okay.
I think that the creature was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was really scary.
I mean, he looks like some, like, jello predator coming out of the pool.
Like, so I was thinking, like, Swamp Thing.
I thought he kind of looked like he was made out of like runny bologna sandwich meat.
It really did seem to me like they went with like the most cliche ghost type thing to be in the pool. Like there could have been so many other things that were in the pool and invisible, and it was just a ghost. I don't know. It seemed really.
Was it a dead ghost though?
Definitely. The ghost died at the end of that episode. It was a dead ghost.
How does the ghost die?
It's double dead.
I always feel like a creature or a monster is always scarier when you can't see it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden when you can visualize it, it's not as scary anymore.
Well, that's totally what I mean, is like the thing was invisible, and like so there's kind of this setup of like, oh, what is it? And then when that was revealed that it was just like a skeleton from Party City, like it just
with saliva.
I felt like it was a bit anticlimactic.
That's the case for everything, right? Except for Jaws, like, but if you look at Signs, it's the same thing, right? Like whenever we can barely see it, and then you see it at the end and it's like, eh.
What?
I think that's why they made him be able to come in and out of the pool after you saw him too. Because if they took away that kind of scary element of the unknown, then he can suddenly be closer to you.
You know, if the monster was able to follow them into the boys' locker room, why was it that it never left that pool for 40 years?
That's what I'm saying. Once they were able to see him, he was no longer afraid to get out of the pool.
Oh.
They said that in the show. Okay. It was a silly little loophole that they were like, oh, well, we'll fix this by just saying, since you can see him now, he can chase you. But
the loophole was said by a nerdy boy, so we know that it's true.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, speaking of loopholes, he finds the pool because he decides to calculate the volume of the school.
Been there.
I mean, I think everybody
tell us about that, Adam.
Right, you know how it is. You're bored. You're waiting for your parents to come pick you up. So you're like, I'm going to go ahead and try to calculate the circumference of the entire school, and we'll see what happens.
So how many of y'all ever discovered an entire wall of lockers that you could move to a secret room behind it?
Adam, you have? Really? No.
Yeah. When you calculated the volume of your school?
It was. It absolutely was.
What was behind the wall of lockers?
A baloney monster.
So was this, in fact, based on your life?
It was. Down to the clothing, which I think is why I'm so bitter about it, because I dress just like that. And I used to hand out Werther's originals to everybody that was around me.
Didn't anyone else think it was weird that they hadn't drained the pool?
They drained it like halfway. Yeah, it was odd.
I thought that the tarp was like just over the bottom of the pool.
Mm-mm, it only goes down like 2 feet. They just drained it.
I was confused about the depth.
Maybe that was a budget thing.
We'll find out. That we're not talking about Google. The weirdest part of this whole episode to me personally was that this guy didn't see anything happen in the pool. All he knew was that his girlfriend's brother died, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna become a janitor
at
this school so I can make sure that nobody else drowns, because I have a sneaking suspicion that there is a ghost who can be dead twice in here.
Well, it's like, so I think that can be explained, because he said that he heard the kids say that someone was in the pool with him. Obviously, no one was in the pool with him when he drowned. And then three more kids drown. And so nobody believed him that there was something in the pool, and then until three more kids drown.
Riddle me that, though. Okay. Why become a janitor when you could just become a coach for the swim team?
Because the swim team was gone.
Because he thought that the pool was haunted.
A PE teacher. I don't know.
And you let four people drown.
It's weirder to have a janitor in this pool area being like, I'm just washing out for ghosts.
Maybe he was a teacher and then he just kind of decided, oh, I'm tired of teaching.
Tenure is not my thing.
To me, the biggest hole was when they all of a sudden had the chemical that they needed to kill the ghost randomly there.
She grabbed it on the way out.
She grabbed it from the lab.
Mm-hmm. She did. It was like, oh, explosive.
Yeah.
Why?
Because she listening when he told her about the volcano at the beginning when she was pretending that he was a nerd and she didn't like him.
That's just
right,
good.
But she didn't come up with the idea until later. So she just brought that just because she thought it looked pretty. And then later on she was like, oh, by the way, I brought this chemical, which is the solution.
Yeah, I agree.
You all are forgetting this crucial aspect of this show. It's Canadian television. Ultimately, it's going to be wholesome and you are going to learn something from it. Because a lot of Are You Afraid of the Dark, there are moral tales.
Yeah.
You know, it is like a creepy 90s, like Aesop fable in a certain way. So this is about the power of listening to nerds.
Did anybody notice the dive at the very, very end?
Yes, I did.
I watched this episode twice in preparation for this. Both times, die laughing.
What?
She just like, she's about to set up this. He's like, hey, do you want to go swimming at the end when everything's fine? And she's like, sure. And he's like, I won't go swim, just you. And then she like begins a dive, and then there's a cut, like an edit cut, and then she just sort of flops into the pool.
Belly flops.
I didn't notice that.
Like a little kid dives.
I only noticed the lifeguards.
She's on the swim team.
She just goes. Bah.
I wonder if it was just because of the angle that it happened that way.
Yeah, I wonder how many episodes are actually based on a lot of like Southern folklore is you have these town stories, and it's really, really common, especially here in Arkansas. Like, everybody here knows the story of the Bird and Bride. We all know where the Haunted Bridge and Tilly Willy is. You know, like, and even in Vance Randolph's book that he like published in 1954, Ozark Mountain Magic, Superstitions and Folklore, there was a quote that he got from somebody being like, oh yeah, Washington County, Arkansas, that's the most haunted place in the Ozarks. So these are very common things. So I wonder if Canada has a very similar thing, and maybe these are their own versions of urban legends.
Well, yeah. You know that one where the kid goes into the mall and he gets stuck in the pinball machine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know a guy that happened to.
Oh,
I'm sorry, what?
My goodness, that's amazing. Been there.
Well, yeah, I mean, he won the game over and over again and could never escape.
And he got stuck.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do I know this? I mean, we have friends that talk.
Zatel, a pinball wizard. Is Zatel as old as time? Beauty and the Beast. You know what I mean? Pinball and putts, I think, is what it is.
Whatever, you guys. I was like, wait a second.
Bailey, that's so awesome. That's such a convincing. You're like, no. So seriously, there's this guy who used to go to the mall all the time.
I'm trying to think of the most absurd premise in any of these episodes.
Right? So what's the moral of, the moral of Dead Man's Float is like essentially
in
like
the beginning.
Learn science.
Well, in the beginning he says sometimes things shouldn't be changed because they should be the way.
Yeah, but like that sounded like him justifying his own shitty behavior. Sometimes things are just the way they are because that's the way they're supposed to be.
Right.
Well, okay, so about the morals thing.
Bless you.
We did learn that magnesium is explosive when it comes into contact with water, so that's a valuable lesson. And that's the reason that his volcano went poof. So that's probably why she brought it, because she was like, we need some kind of weapon.
Yeah,
well, she said something about it reacting with water.
Yeah. Wholesome Canadian television.
And you mentioned the other moral that they got was make sure to wear gloves with chemicals. But go on, Kate. Sorry.
Well,
my other question was that they said the ghost was there because they didn't move a body when they excavated the cemetery to put the pool in, which implies that they didn't exorcise the ghost, right? The body's still there. They should and they didn't take care of that.
I mean, no. The ghost was in a pool, so I think it got plenty of exercise.
Exorcise.
Lordy.
With that, thank you all so much for coming and sharing your thoughts. And we got one more Halloween special I want to fit in this October. So we'll do that next time. And until then, return your videos here.
Return your videos here.
Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Dead ghosts!
They died twice.
It forebodes a secret you can never tell. Meet her at the crossroads. Nothing can be kept from her. There's nothing she can see. The secret word, she'll lock it up and throw away the key. You can't keep a secret from her.
Thank you for listening to Memory Static. This episode was produced and edited by me, Bailey Moore. All music was written in collaboration between me and Cullen Moore. Find more of his music by visiting Plaid Tuxedo on YouTube and Spotify, and you can buy his album Soaring Through the Wind on plaidtuxedo.com. Special thanks to the guest host, Chaney Moore, and to all our Zoom party guests. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and if you have stories about anything we talk about on any episode, email us at memorystatic@gmail.com. I really want to hear them. If you like what you hear, please consider rating and reviewing our podcast, or support us on Patreon. Stay safe, and happy Halloween, y'all!
But she has six in every face. So you can't keep a secret from the cat. For she knows all your hiding places. She knows all your hiding places. The backs of their heads. But she has six in every face.